our experience, a lawyer came to complain dealing with
the infrastructure of the restaurant being intellectual property. You know, from ambiance setup, you know, menu creations, a few different things that lawyers come, you know, like just the initial trademarking of the business, of the franchise, you know, making sure that all the paperwork
why,
is...
Why would you trademark your business, and why would you be afraid that somebody, like, if there aren't a lot of vegan restaurants right now, why would you be afraid that somebody would all of a sudden create, like a line of vegan restaurants that you weren't able to create yourself?
Okay. Well,
why are you afraid to trademark?
Because it robs originality, you know. So and the trademark is important because the trademark protects the originality, and the originality stems from many different things. What's essential to the trade's nature, you know, it's a lot of history and experience, you know, and establishments, a lot of studying, research, development, you know. So the trademark protects all the work that went into saying, this is what it is forever. You feel what I'm saying? That's a trademark. This is forever. A proclamation, basically. You know, so the lawyer comes to make sure that all the legalities, the paperwork, you know, everything is in alignment.
Why wouldn't you start a trademark like 5 years after you got started? Like, why would you? Why? Because just to make sure that you're spending your money, like, I don't want to say wisely, but you're not spending your money needlessly. Because like a restaurant usually lasts like 1, 2, 3 years. You're trademarking for forever. Like you're paying for a forever service that's only going to be needed for a few years. In worst case scenarios, which are many.
The trademark is not inclusive to a restaurant.
Okay.
That's a real question, but the trademark is not inclusive to the restaurant. You know, the restaurant is protected by the trademark.
So what is this? Because I see myself being able to write about this. Is a Sun Food Sovereign franchisee? Like, are they becoming part of the Sun Food Sovereign trademark? Are they going to be able to use Sun Food Sovereign trademark material as part of the interest factor of this book?
Right. Exactly. That's the purpose of the trademark.
How do you see the franchises interacting with like you and like me and Taylor and Styx and anybody that's like that's associated with Sun Food Sovereign? Like how is somebody in Atlanta who gets a hold of this book, or even somebody in Clifton that gets a hold of this book, or somebody that maybe buys the book at Natural Foods, like how do you want them to approach you? Like how should somebody approach you after this book? Like just an email and say, hi, I'm such and such, or like
maybe soon in the future we'll have enough money to buy a jet and we could fly, you know, all the franchisees to a retreat somewhere.
Okay.
How about that?
You can fly a jet. You can get a private jet for about, like, I think, $1,500. So we can
rent.
Yeah.
We want to own one.
Okay. Well, I don't know what I would do with a private jet.
We want to go to Seattle, holler at Boeing, and have one design. Maybe they'll be so interested. We could give Boeing a copy of this book.
How many flax seed crackers do you have to trade for a barter and trade? How many units? Yeah, how many units? Like at least as much as a weight.
100,000.
100,000. All right. Okay. 100,000 units.
$100,000.
So,
yeah.
And taxes. So
you
can get a small one.
150. 150. You can get one for. I did the research. You can get one for 150,000. Okay. So that would be how people could approach me. I would like to approach the people in a serene, tranquil setting, you know, so they can get the essence of what this is about.
Okay. The other thing that I was talking, the other thing that I wanted to talk about was like for getting a restaurant started, I thought a good way to get the restaurant concept started would be with a like talking about, you know, you can start out of your apartment. Like the idea of like get the
you can train yourself in your apartment.
Yeah, that's
a good, you know, that's a start, but you wanna create an area to manifest the initial sovereign self. You feel what I'm saying? This is like the training part of the book is going to train the person to first establish that thought of sovereignty in they self in order to manage the business. You feel what I'm saying? Because I lost it.
You were talking about like you're basically talking, because I asked you.
Yeah, what was the question?
I asked you about how would you like a franchisee to approach you?
Right. Okay.
And you had said that like that, and then you got into a soliloquy that led to you want, and I asked, well, why can't you start out of your apartment? And you said you can train.
Right.
And then you want the sovereignty of a room, of a building, like a separate building.
Right.
To manifest.
That's because, okay, yeah, because there's two components to the Sungful Sovereign. It's the, you know, the holistic, spiritual, you know, artistic self. Then it's the business self, which is the commercial establishment itself. You know what I'm saying? So we want to put the book is a collaboration of a mind state. You know what I'm saying? A sovereign mind state, a free mind state.
Mm-hmm.
Independent, free thought, you know, free actions, free art, free creation. You know, so from ingesting the book, you know, the end result should be a point of internal ingestion, you know, to manifest the same prototype, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same type, you know, function similarly. I mean, y'all just seen it. Like, just in yourself, you know, just association breeds similarity. So what we want before, we want the franchisees to be able to, even without meeting us, to be able to assimilate to that same behavior that come from, you know, okay, I'm gonna go as a franchisee, but you go, it's just like any other protocol, you know. That's the only way it's gonna work.
Well, someone starting a restaurant, like what are the typical like utility costs?
You got gas and electric, phone, you know, internet, same things for a house or a small apartment, you know, not phone, gas, electric, you know, those are for the establishment. Then you have other things like signs, you know, you got menu boards. You got menus, you know, printed out menus, lightings, seatings, you know, under 10 grand.
Right. I get the, like, I'm getting the impression that, like, this is, like, you, it's kind of like one of those things that, like, you see somebody, like, I see an empty room, and I see a library. I see a place to place books and to facilitate like poetic writings in there. You see an empty space, and you see a place to put a kitchen and a kitchen, a washroom, a floor space, a performance space, and like when you see empty space, you see something different than what I and a lot of people see.
Yeah, when I think about empty space, like if a house is empty or apartment's empty, I think about how it's gonna be set up to serve, you know, people that go.
Yeah, because you also see
eat this type of food.
You also see a clinic. You also see a clinic, and you also see what else did you say? Clinic, like the grocery store.
It's a living therapy. You know what I'm saying? It's a lifestyle. This is a therapy. You know what I'm saying? It's very effective. You know, whether you borderline vegan, raw food. You know, Sungful Sovereign specializes in raw food because that is the most rigid and effective part of healing, because you're dealing with blood work, tissue, molecular work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it's also important, like, it's important for there to be at least at least one person who's just kind of like, we should eat raw food, because without at least one person offer, like without one person offering a choice, we'd all be eating cooked
death
food. We wouldn't have a diversity of dietary options.
Right.
To have one person that's at least like passionate about, to have one person that's at least passionate about, like, I am passionate about this, about this. I have, like, some people don't even have a passion. You're just kind of like, why the produce? Like, I'm passionate about it. Like, apples, oranges, like, tomatoes, like, beans, seeds, like that. You'll, oh my gosh. You're into it. And, like, if anything, like, that, even that, just, that by itself is admirable. That by itself, without any of the extra, is admirable in and of itself. And, like, how would you want, like, what kind of, how does somebody foster that type of passion for a franchisee? Like, how do you foster that type of passion? Because, like, that's what it takes to start a successful restaurant.
Think about being young forever. think about baby food. You know, think about, you know, the palate of a child, you know. When I go into the produce store, I feel like a child in paradise. And I'm like, famine? Starvation? You mean to tell me these people really hungry and all this abundance, you know, like.
Yeah. I think that's a healthy way of looking at it. I mean, there was just an article about like, I read online, somebody was just talking about, there's kind of like, you know, like, for all this talk about, like, the economy failing and for, like, the ridiculousness that, like, everything that, like, that this thing is talking about, because all that ever tells is, like, a bad story. Like, for, like, in spite of what that has to say, like, we all have, like, in the United States, I mean, at least in the United States, or, like, or anybody that's going to read this article, like, we all have, like, for the most part, everybody I know has access to, like, just bountiful amounts of food. Everybody I know has access to at least, like, some type of roof. And people talk about, like, the game and, like the capitalism and business world and all that, but, like, to me, that's like extra on top of, like, if you can, like, if you can manage to rise to that level of ability, but at the basic level, like, I don't see starvation in the United States.
At the basic level, food, clothing, and shelter is accessible to everybody.
It seems that way, and my stereotype.
A lot of it.
My stereotype is that if it's not accessible to you, there was not necessarily something that you did wrong, but there were just circumstances that lined up that just went haywire. I see homeless people that are downtown, but when I talk to them. A couple of the people I've talked, when I was younger, I used to ask homeless people, like, in my naive ways, like, they would ask me for change, and I would just be like, what would it take for you to not be homeless? And they would just be like, free beer? And I was just like, okay, I don't really know how that correlates with homelessness, but when I asked them, like, what would it take for you to not be homeless, and you look at me and you say free beer, it was kind of like, maybe it's something with you. Maybe it's not something with this, like, the system or anything. Like, maybe I couldn't even help you if I wanted to,
because, right,
like, you know, I could give you a 12-pack, but that's not going to give you the key to an apartment. I'm careful when I talk about homelessness, but I feel like most people, like, the majority of people have access to the essentials, and when it comes to, when it comes to starting, like, businesses, when it comes to starting like enterprise and that sort of thing, like, that's like a group effort. That's not, like, one person can't even achieve that. Like, that takes at least, like, several people working in tandem. Like, that takes just being good with relationships, being able to develop relationships and foster relationships, and, like, that's a skill that almost anybody can. I mean, I don't want to say anybody can foster it, but, like, that's a personal thing. Like, that's something that, like, can you foster a relationship, because if you can't, you can't really start a business. Like, if you can form relationships, which is something that I don't know if I can be taught, but that's what it takes to start. That's what it takes to start, like, businesses. That's what it takes to start. Anything of value comes from a relationship between at least two, three, four, five people working together and putting, like, effort into, like, a single object. Like, one person, because I feel like when you're starting a business, you've got to get ahead of somebody else in some form or fashion, like, in some avenue, in some channel of, like, for you, like, everybody can cook food. you have to focus your energy on cooking food so that you can get ahead. So like basically like for me, if I'm going to pay you to cook food, you got to be able to do something with food that I can't do. And so you got to get ahead of me in that area. And if you get like two or three people working together with you, like you get two or three people like working together ahead of other people, then you're doing what it takes to start a business. You're getting ahead of somebody. Like Apple Computer is ahead of everybody in building computers. Like it would take me 25 years to build a terrible one. They're collecting and building their experiences together, and they're getting ahead of people to be able to build something that the future is going to look at and be like, that changes everything. And like with your restaurant, this is the way I look at it. If you could focus, if you had like the help of somebody like me, like Taylor, like Sticks, like this first restaurant that you're getting started, if we focus and basically put ourselves on a long timeline, like one of the things that I think has to happen to start is like, because this is actually something that I think your cousin has a little bit of trouble with. I've never started a nonprofit, so he could be right on point. But my instinct tells me that when he there was like three or four times that he mentioned to me that we'll have offices in 50 states, and I was kind of like, I'm with you, man. We're gonna have offices in 50 states, but like I understand that takes like 30.
First, you need to have just be focused on the one office.
Yeah, and also,
and do what you can.
Yeah.
Crank out.
And I was like, you can have that, but that takes 30 years. I was kind of like, I mean, if we're starting a 30-year relationship, as far as I can tell, that's where a lot of value in finances come from anyways, is from like long-term relationships. Like a 30-year relationship has a better chance of being profitable as like two separate lonely relationships.
Right, because it's then gain equity.
Yeah.
You know, power structure.
If you want some tissues, there's some right next to you.
No, it's not running at this.
But maybe that's something that I can talk, because that's something that I can talk about at length without like a lot of like direction from you.
You ever looked at the history of the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan's and the Kennedys and how they established the oligarchy? But that's the oligarchy is what runs the governments. You feel what I'm saying? Like the economic system. But what they did is sovereignty, you know, through history always was established on the rule of a few over the many, you know, through certain, you know, political or informational means. So what they did was set up power structures, and the power structures consisted of different families, you know, uniting, like you just said, instead of, you know, just groups of individual people uniting around the same cause and creating the equity of that over time. Now look at the equity over time, like the whole matrix system finance is set up and run by these same families. So
but not just any families, and not
so
even,
look
and
the same we prototype all of them different structures, like you said, Macintosh, the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgan. We unite the strength of families and the resources of families within that structure, and it grows on itself. It grows of itself.
And if you think about it, I mean, like your product or our product, like the pate, like at least five original products, with the ability of like more original products to be made. That if anything, that could be trademarked. But it was funny because like the other day, I was just talking with a friend of mine, the guys I'm working on this magazine with. We're like 5,000 words into. We were discussing like what long term success takes in business, and basically it takes not just like a good product, but it takes a good decision making, and it also takes good decision making time and time and time and time again.
Over like, and over again.
It's sustained and recreated success over and over and over again. It's kind of like one hot night on the microphone will give you like a free drink that night, but it's just kind of like, but 350 hot nights over 10 years or over 5 years, like might get you an apartment or a house or a car. But it's kind of like, but you gotta be hot like every night for like 5 years, and it's like I almost look at it as like casting a spell. Like some people think you cast a spell like in the moment, but like a real spell that has like a real effect like on society, like in terms of like you know that feeling you get when you think about like Jay-Z, like that image, like his words, like his like the word Jay-Z is like this big in your brain when you think about it. Like that's from. That's from like a spell that he created that took him 10, 20, like 10, 15 years to create. It's like a spell isn't cast like in a moment with a swipe of a wand. It's cast with like 5 million keystrokes at a keyboard, or like, you know, 10,000 telephone conversations, or 5,000 performances, or like a combination of all of that. That's how you cast a spell, from what I can tell. Like, you just make phone calls, you type on a keyboard, you give performances.
Can you put a trademark or anything?
Yeah, and that's what it is. And when I realized that, I was kind of like, well, I can either participate, or I can just ignore that. Because really, that's all there is. The other thing I think about is like being able to eat healthy and to improve my health over like the next 5 years. Like that's incentive for me to want to be a part of your business. But now it's your turn to talk. How do you feel about like if you could like talk about your concept of relationships, because that's the only thing that I feel like can differentiate this from failure. It's like the success of like us doing this for the next.
At the end of the day, that's all that's really important: love and relationships. Like, take it from this perspective. Say you was dying, and on your deathbed, you know, you reflect on a lot of the things that led to that death, and a lot of those scenarios and events in your life. Who's there? People, experiences, friends, family. You know, so you can't do nothing with material acquisitions. So at that point, you realize that the essence of life is love and relationships. You know, so a lot of that incentive goes into how I do business too. You know, like we talked about earlier, like versus a customer or what a client is. This is a family generated, you know, enterprise. You know, it's a relationship based enterprise, because food, music, poetry, you know, those are key tools in establishing relationships. Nothing is going forward without relationships. You feel what I'm saying? At the point, okay, for me, the thought, the concept of some food sovereign, right? For me, without my relationship with you, I'm not sitting here right now. That's how important relationships are to me. And then, but at the same time, in the midst of this relationship, looking at former relationships and looking at how without them relationships, certain things wouldn't take place. So, you know, in conclusion, you know, if we don't establish good relationships with the people that, you know, purchase this book, for example, Will Tuttle, right, in the World Peace Diet book, he come here all the time. He was so efficient in the marketing of that one book that he established relationships with everybody to get, like, all the Earth Save organizations and that yoga center start naming it, Anna Ferguson named the yoga center that used to be Gratitude in Motion, named it after the book. You know, that's how effective his persona, you know, and the efficiency of his book, you know, and how relationships. And then the infrastructure or the message in the book was receptive to 3/4 of humanity right now. You know what I'm saying? 3/4 of humanity right now is basic vegetarian, vegan, environmentalist, animal activist. You know, that's a lot of power. So this is the same thing that we putting into this infrastructure. You know, the same similar formulas. You know, health, nutrition, betterment for humanity. You gotta have relationships if you're a humanitarian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think if I were to focus the the restaurant chapter, if I were to focus it on, just like instead of trying to give like a treatise on, like if you want to know the practicality of starting a restaurant, like you should call us, like get in touch with us, and we'll talk you through the lawyer, we'll talk you through the location, we'll talk you through the practicalities of it. Like that shouldn't be your concern. Your first concern should be finding 1, 2, 3, 4, even 5 partners to work with and to build with to focus on your human relationship thought patterns and realize that like if you can't get past the importance of the relationship between you and another human being, you won't be able to succeed in this anyway. So make the restaurant chapter a chapter about like how like the give and take in a number of relationships, and how a group of people can be successful at working together, like with the model of the movements forward that's happening for like this restaurant that you're talking about. Without any of these conversations, nobody would feel motivated enough to do it. People would be like, it's too far outside my reach right now. But like the movement of the conversation is going in that direction.
The only reason that I haven't opened the restaurant since I closed the living room was because when I opened the living room, that was where I was living. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was homeless at the time, so a real, you know, some crucial energy went into manifesting that. So I just decided that, you know, I'll freelance and, you know, do different things so I could get grounded in living. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I spend so much time into trying to make a living that I forget how to live. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy, because my lifestyle became my business, and it became a prison for me, too. You know, because then, you know, that solidarity time that I had spent in formulating certain things, that was disallowed now, because it's like now, every day what I'm doing is what everybody else had to be, what the restaurant had to be doing. You hear what I'm saying? That it got hard to maintain because nobody could synchronize with it. You feel what I'm saying? This is like all the different preferences. It's like the menu was created from, okay, this is what I'm going to be eating this week. So we create the menu. We shift it daily, different special drinks, different special entrees. And
well, if anything, it sounds like, I mean, like you've eaten in restaurants before. But like when you're like it's different between like the amount of energy it takes to like if you go and watch like Hakeem perform at the Greenwich, like that takes like this much energy. But like to actually get on stage and perform with him introducing you takes like that much energy. Even though you're spending the same amount of time in the establishment, like just like getting on stage and like and you know, putting yourself out there like that, like that takes much more energy. Like eating at a restaurant, like starting a restaurant takes like your entire life force, it sounds like. Like,
pretty much. It hurt. You know what I'm saying? It really hurt. You know, because because I'm going to go back to love and relationships. It was the relationships that I had established that gave me the momentum to open the restaurant in the first place. I was opening for the relationships that I was in. And I ain't talking about man and woman. I'm talking about the organizations, all the people that supported the juice bar, the 30, the 50, the 100 grand that was made prior to opening the restaurant, you know, all of that experience, you know, 3 to 6 to 7 years with nothing but raw foods, many different juices, many different supplements, many different healing processes.
And you're having to advocate the whole time. Like, it's not just like you're just making food and everybody's kind of like, yeah, this is what we eat. It's just kind of like you're like surprising, like the energy that goes into teaching, which is also draining. Like, teachers are also tired of people. Because like just the energy of like having to always prove somebody either wrong or advance an opinion or just be a part of no, you got it wrong again, we're going to a raw food restaurant, like we're not serving chicken, don't you like remember, because like, the head's off his blood everywhere. and they have to go through that like every time, and
there's no blood in this kitchen, thank you. It's ABC 123, no blood, no bones. Hello.
Hi.
How
Hi.
You doing?
This is Taylor, this is Casa.
Hi, nice to meet you.
This is Kathy. She's also known as Mom.
The life force. See, so that's what the life force, the product line is now the byproduct of that sacrifice life force now. You know what I'm saying? Like, because this is a sacrifice. This is a lot of energy that we built to take
like
to
work.
This book, man.
I mean, I feel like I'm the work I do. Like, I mess with it about, I've been messing with it about twice a week. I work with them more if we spent more time. But I feel like it's a lot of energy from you, and I usually have to think about it for a day or two. If I did it quickly, you wouldn't be happy with it if I did it quickly. It would be like,
hello, how you doing? Hey.
Dad.
Hey.
Hi, hey.
Hello. Hey, Casa. Dad.
Oh, Cass, you in there?
We could talk a little bit more about the restaurant and the initial...
We also need, I don't know if you have time for, I don't know how long you want to be here.
What time is it? We got an appointment at 6.
We also need to talk, like if we could give a list, like if we could talk about the food itself, like the apples, the oranges,
okay.
What is the Sun Food Sovereign?
Bulk, weight, we need cases. Like, in a minimum, 5 cases apples, 5 cases oranges. This is for the juice component.
This isn't for a restaurant. This is for the reference section.
Right.
We're not.
Oh, reference to.
This is the reference.
Okay. You talking about the reference as far as what it is?
Just like the appendix is like.
Got it.
Big poetic understandings, or your poetic, scientific, and rational understandings of the food that you work with. Like, what food can you endorse?
The best foods.
What have you used?
Everything that I can, I done use a lot of stuff, man, from every imported stuff, man. I mean, like, that's what I want to talk about. Like, if we want to get into talking about what stuff, man, I'm talking about cashews from Indonesia, camu seeds, different types of durian.
Durian,
man. I'm like, durian is the top of the food chain.
Okay, let me put, I understand.
Durian in India. Not India. Thailand. Durian falls. They grow.
They fall
trees. They fall and they kill people because of this prickly spike.
That's what you understand. Like every single one of these foods gets like a page of writing.
Yeah. Okay. So when we go into that, I'm gonna talk about my experiences with these different foods. Dude.
Okay. Like
that's how we endorse
it. Might be just keeping it to like 10. Like if you could, I mean, I don't like. 10 foods would be about 10 times 1.5 would be about 15, 20 pages. Like we'd be like with the relationship chapter from the restaurant and then the reference chapter. The other thing we need is we've never talked about the juicer, the blender. Like we've never really talked about the juicer, the blender, the food dehydrator. And you were working on it. You had that sheet in front of you that had the prices, and you were working on it. And then I don't know if it ever came to completion. But we need to talk about the food. We need to talk about the tools. Because I don't have a chapter about the tools, and I don't have a chapter about the food.
Okay.
So let's work on the food. Like if we expand it to like 20 foods, 25 different foods. I assume you can talk about 25 foods. If you can talk about 25 foods, like if you can provide the information, I can write the information down. If I have to research it, that compounds the amount of time it's going to take because rewriting and finding the information, like it takes time.
25 foods, got you.
So if you, yeah, 25 foods seems like a good amount. Like realistically, like I can't like 10 seems a little short. Doesn't seem references.
So you want to start now?
If you can,
off the top.
You want to freestyle it?
You can freestyle 25.
Let's freestyle it. Avocado. Okay, the benefits of avocado. It is a plant fat. It is a fruit. It is very good. It is high in vitamin E. It can be utilized as a spread, as a dip. It's a real favorite around the world. Guacamole. I got the acai berry. Acai berry is high in antioxidants. Its origin is in the high bushlands of Thailand. Arugula. Arugula is of the spinach family. It grows indigenous to the Hampshire area. It has a strong mustard-like spinach type of flavor. It is very high in, first and foremost, chlorophyll because it is a green leafy plant. Green leafy plants is where you're going to get a lot of your protein in the raw food regimen. Asparagus. Asparagus is a bushel in the broccoli family. Is a stem type root. Is a root. Is very good for the reproductive areas. Good for inflammation. Lower cholesterol. It is, yes, a green plant, so it has some chlorophyll content. So we're going to go to the B section, and we're going to talk about bananas. Bananas is a world-renowned staple favorite. You got many different species of the banana, the red banana, the plantain, you know, small bananas, big bananas, the green banana. So banana, of course, is very high in potassium. 85% water, you know, surprisingly, wouldn't believe it because it is a very starchy fruit. What else? Blueberries. Blueberries, I love blueberries. Blueberries is another high antioxidant food. You know, I want to make a note that high antioxidant foods are, you know, categorized as superfoods. You know, superfoods being, you know, the foods that are whole, efficient to provide, you know, vitamins, minerals, energy, and vitality. So, you know, blueberries is on the chart there. Let's see. We got, come on, give me another B. Bilberry. Bilberry is in the blueberry family. It's, you know, extension of the... bilberry is like the sister or something. We may have to do some research on that. Broccoli itself is green, bushel, chlorophyll content, very fibrous, you know, very good and for iron, vitamin C. Bok choy, okay. Bok choy is a green leafy. You know, we grew some bok choy last year in the garden. Actually, it was very good, very good. High in vitamin C. You know, leafies contain mad chlorophyll. Very popular in Oriental meals. When you get the on chong mang and the spinach bang yong and the general souls with mixed vegetables, you might find some bok choy in there. You know, we throw it together in the unstir fried mixed concoction and the raw food regime. So, yeah, you know, bok choy is in the B section. I guess we can move over to C for right now since I can't get it right, B. I lost it, B, so we going to see what we going to see that the coconut is amongst one of my favorite foods, you know, the young coconut, the young Thai coconut, you know, they got the elixir of life inside of it, the elixir of life, the coconut milk, and, you know, very sweet nectar, very good for the blood plasma and the regeneration of cells, good for its antiviral, antibacterial. You know, it is a fat, it is a plant fat, so coconut oil, along being another property of the coconut, is very good, you know, for external and dietetic use. We have the cherry, the sweet berry, you know, cherry is never contrary to a diet that is exempt from dairy. So, you know, we got cherries, you know, with the beautiful compound of antioxidants, once again, you know, vitamin A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay, anyway, so we got cacao. Cacao is raw chocolate lover. So chocolate, the cacao bean is, you know, an indigenous bean. You know, it is found in many indigenous areas, Mexico, you know, along with Brazil and other, you know, Costa Rica. You know, it's cultivated in mass different places, but the bean itself is a, you know, it's actually a beauty food, you know, in its raw state. You know, it does have some caffeine content, you know, so it gives a type of adrenaline high. Also, at the same, it has beauty properties. It's very high in magnesium and calcium, so it's good for the bones and nails and teeth and energy. So that's another C. And then we have cabbage. You know, some people do not like the cabbage, but they like the cabbage. Cabbage is very, very, very good. Some studies say that once upon a time, you know, they did some studies on some mice with, you know, raw cabbage versus some, you know, cooked dead foods, and, you know, the mice had cancers, you know, and the mice that ate the cabbage in this raw state, you know, they put the cancer in remission, basically got rid of it, versus in the other mice died. So, cabbage in its raw form, you know, cabbage itself, you know, very popular staple in the Orient, you know, is, you know, people in the Himalayas use raw cabbage, you know, kimchi is another healthy fermented raw food that comes from fermented cabbage, and it's very good with, you know, stimulating digestive secretions, enzymes, bacteria, healthy bacteria that's needed to, you know, create a conducive environment within the colon. So that's cabbage, and we're gonna go to D. That's because I like cauliflower. Cauliflower is another cruciferous vegetable that, in the raw world, it can be used for making mock mashed potatoes. You know, you just throw it on in the processor and blend it on up with some cashews and throw a little olive oil or maybe some margarine, a little sea salt and pepper in there. You got yourself some raw mashed potatoes from good old cauliflower. Now we got D. Durian. Durian. They call it the stinky fruit. The stinky fruit because it be stinking. You open up, you be like, what you thinking when you opened up that fruit? So, durian, when you open it up, it's like custard on the inside. It's like yellowish custard. Like, this, it's amazing fruit, man. It's good to me and to a lot of other people. And it's a powerful food. Like, when I was 100% raw, I gained a lot of weight, you know, muscle fat from durian. You know, durian, coconuts, macadamias, and avocados. We're going to get into them later. But durian is really good for bodybuilding in the vegan and raw world. It is a very dangerous fruit. You can get a manslaughter from it if you swing it around. Somebody is very spiky, so sometimes when it's frozen, you know, it's hard to get inside of. You know, you take a knife and get inside of it. Okay, let me see. Any ideas? Dates, yes.
Dates.
Okay, dates. Dates are good. Dry dates. Fresh dates are really good too. Really good for cleaning the colon, stimulating digestion. It is a sugary food, so it's very good also for balancing the glucose levels if you are diabetic and you don't need to eat a lot of refined sugars and stuff like that. It has natural sugars, you know. In the raw world, you can use it as a sweetener and a cohesive for many products, such as cookies, cakes, stuff like that. It can be processed in milks, shakes, smoothies. You can just be eating plain as a snack, and it is an energy food, you know, so, you know, if you're low on energy after a good workout, some, you know, throw some dates or some nuts, energy be right back on point. Dandelion greens. They have the dandelion herb, the dandelion greens. The dandelion herb is used to purify and cleanse the blood, the red blood. The leaves, same thing. A lot of dandelions grow indigenous. You can find the herb itself in many different health food stores. Eucalyptus. Eucalyptus is an herbal part of the regimen. It's very good in the winter months when it comes to combating cold and influenza. So is echinacea while we're on ease. Eel. Eel is not a vegetable. It's a worm. Elderberry is in the cranberry lineage. Elderberry is good for cleansing the liver and gallbladder.
Eggplant.
Now that's a good one. Eggplant. Very good. Can make burgers, pasta. It's good. It is a starchy, kind of low-carb plant food. Can be prepared in many different ways. If you take it, slice it, you know, put it in a little oil, sprinkle a little salt on it, it'll soften up in about 15 minutes. And it'll get very succulent and juicy. You can throw it on the grill, grill it on up, or you can chop it up in chunks and season it and marinate it and throw it in a pasta. All different type of ways you can use eggplant. Figs. Fig Newtons was a childhood favorite, so I like to use figs. They got calamari figs, Black Mission figs. Black Mission is the best, you know, for, you know, like, they go in alignment with, like, prunes. So, if you're constipated and you don't want to take pills and Pepto-Bismol and things, you can get you some Black Mission figs. And it is also a good mucus decongestant. And I think about it, I probably need to get some Black Mission figs to eliminate some of this mucus out of my system because I have not been adhering to the raw code ethics.
Really?
Nothing. I just chose to kill myself. Sweet suicide. Gambling. Dietary Russian roulette.
A chocolate bar?
Yeah. Man, talk about cookies and candy and turkey bacon and substitute eggs and chicken and
Because I've never heard you really sniffle before.
Right. I don't even remember when I've been last.
So, like, health to just, like,
So what happens? So we're going to take a break on this, on references real quick, and we're going to tell you this is a good time to show you the effects of degenerated food habits. It is an overwhelming level of intoxication, mucus. When everything breaks down, it just basically breaks down the mucus and the microtoxins and the microorganisms that are created from the toxins basically kill, you know, the former environment, you know what I'm saying, which causes degeneration on the cellular level. So upon returning to it, I actually got my medicine in the car. I had a Cochran collard green salad. Had to get some sunlight. You know, I had to infuse the cellular structure with some greens, because greens have chlorophyll, and chlorophyll is what's needed to basically give the cell the ability to come back to life. You know what I'm saying? So if you're ever sick, catching a cold, feeling weak, you know, there's many different ways to, you know, regenerate. You know, one way is salad therapy, which is green leafy vegetables. Lemons are a good alkalizer. You can juice the greens, you know, for a speedy, more a speedy assimilation into the bloodstream. But yeah, I went on a tangent. You know, I've been binging, you know, just gambling with my health.
Reminding yourself why you do what you do.
Boy, for real.
That happens with that.
Giving thanks that I had that alternative, and I spent all these years building it, because if I did not have the alternative, you know, a debt. You know what I'm saying? I've been there, done that many times, and people take it for granted. Oh, I just got a cold. No, the body is toxic. It's full of toxic waste, and the waste need, the toxins need to come out. That's what's coming out. The snot, the, you know, mute. That's the toxins coming out. It took 6 years to basically take out the fecal matter, you know, in the lining of the colon, out of the hole in the gastrointestinal, and then, you know, go to rebuild it again. And the end result was the products. You know what I'm saying? So at basic levels, you know, emptying the body, you know, that's why fasting is good when you're trying to transition to any type of diet. When, you know, that's a good period, even if you eat meat, especially if you eat meat, you should practice the habit of weekly fasting, you know, to give the digestive system a rest. Sickness, mental entropy, you know, messed up, mixed emotions, a lot of that stuff comes from undigested foods, you know, which result in toxins. So, you know, fasting is, you know, abstinence from food is good to balance that chemistry. So, you know, the food regimen itself is about light. You know, basically in the restaurant setting and in the home setting, overall, it's about being light. You know, before it got to a point of, you know, being actually a commercial business and, you know, catering to the interests of the people, it was geared towards immortality. You feel what I'm saying? You know, so with that part of the aspect basically being theoretically proven to the extent of, you know, myself plus some other people have witnessed the transformation from a debilitated state to a regenerated state from this inclusive regimen. So, you know, from time to time, I do allow myself to, you know, forget, you know, the sovereignty of some foods and go back into the slavery of the dead food habits, you know, the slavery of emotional fixes.
We have more food than we've ever had access to before, and you're trying to find the healthiest solution.
Yep.
There's no rule that says you have to eat healthy, like,
right?
All, there's nobody looking on top of it. And you eat healthy today, like, you can eat anything. Like, if you wanted to eat like 15 steaks tomorrow, like, you could. but you just know that like that would that's what, even though it doesn't make sense, that doesn't fit with like your political views, that doesn't fit with like that doesn't fit with your psyche. So you're making the food choices that make the most sense to you, and you made some food choices like eat like the cookies and the chicken, like that probably, I mean that it makes sense that from time to time, like if you didn't have access to it, you wouldn't worry about it, and you definitely wouldn't eat it. Like you wouldn't go and chase down a chicken and kill it to eat it.
Right.
It's ready to live when it's being chased. So that happens. Right. I mean, I don't think you should feel any way about it.
I don't feel no way about it, not mentally or emotionally. There's no mental, like, oh, damn, motherfucker, bro, man, I'm in the meat, I'm in there. I don't feel like that. But because, you know, the mind, the spirit, and the body exist on different levels, what I do feel is the physical effect that it have on my anatomy, because the majority of my time is spent on keeping my anatomy pure. You feel what I'm saying? So I suffer bad, you know, like, from that bliss in that moment, like then some days later, once it's broke down and, you know, not moving nowhere because there's no enzyme, it's you know, everybody don't pay that much attention.
Is your immune system weaker because of your diet, or is it stronger and you just have different effects, like in somebody?
It's stronger because of my regimen, you know, so I can recover from.
You know, like if I eat chicken, like I don't get a runny nose. Like that's usually not what typically happens. Like,
because you're immune to it.
Okay, that's what I was about to bring up in the next question. Can you build up an immunity to the carnivorous diet?
Yeah, not consistently though. It'll destroy the immune. It'll destroy my immune system where it's at.
So is it like cigarettes, like if you haven't smoked in like 15, 20 years, like when you have that first cigarette, like you might cough. It's over. But like somebody that's been smoking for like 10 years, like they can smoke like three or four cigarettes in two minutes, and like they won't. Because
their body already exists in a toxic environment,
Okay.
You know, that's, you know, it's your body used to it. We creatures of habit. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I chose to make a choice to go as long as I could without first eating meat. Then I stopped eating fish. Then I stopped eating cheese in different levels. I still ate it at certain times to test to see what would happen. You know, and different things happened. You know, that told me that, you know, I need to stop dealing with it. You know, because my system is no longer going to fight against it to a certain extent. You see what I'm saying? You know, but I do things like that also, too, to see how strong my immunity basically is. Because even though I'm going through this, I'm still can function. You know, I ain't been sick in a while to the point of just total debilitation. You know, like I was, you know, kind of down and fatigued a little earlier. But, you know, a strong immunity still provides other systems in my body to come with that energy so I can function. You know what I'm saying?
Because I have enough that I can start writing when you pick up later.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to start.
Yeah, let me go through some of my own paperwork and get some specifics too. Okay. You know, like, because my mind is, it ain't really on the number part. Because
I've got a list of things that I can start with. Like, I can.
We went to A to E.
I think you guys as far as.
And then we could just elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah. I can go on Wikipedia and get some more information and give, like, and you name something like arugula. I never would have thought to look that up.
We used to have a song at a restaurant we had in Atlanta, Eternal Life. It was like, arugula, you have to sip it on the regular. Yeah, that was a little thing for that sound, like arugula.
What are you up to?
Man, just adjusting to
business-wise and